On today's episode, we'll begin at the beginning with the Fool card on Strange Magic. Here at Strange Magic, Amanda and I talk about our views on tarot and the ways in which we practice magic.
And we understand that other people have different ways of practicing and different interpretations of the tarot, and that's totally okay.
Take what you'd like and leave the rest. Hello, 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 everybody. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Sarah.
It's so lovely to see you again.
It's always my pleasure to see you.
Today on the show, we are going to kind of in a way kick off the official podcast, because we're going to begin at the beginning and start with a deep dive, or as deep as a 18-minute-ish long podcast can be. But we're going to really go as deep as we can with the zero key in the major arcana, the Fool.
Before we go on, though, I do think it maybe would be fun to address why we call them keys.
Go for it.
Well, I think it comes from Paul Foster Case, doesn't it? Who, in his version of the tarot, like, called them keys in his book, The Tarot, his eponymously titled book about the tarot, where he calls them keys because they open up doors for us.
Correct. Portals. And yeah. What more fitting to be talking about portals than with the Fool?
Right. Because the Fool is really the thing that is beyond the porthole. It's the void, the great unknown. It's the field of consciousness from which everything emerges. It has no boundaries. It has no end. It's infinite.
Mm-hmm. I love that the Fool, well, number one, I love that the Major Arcana has a zero card.
Yeah. So it's like putting some algebra in the major arcana.
In a way, being the most important number, right? Yeah. Because it couldn't be divided. It was omnipresent. I also think about zero and the importance that other cultures, predominantly Eastern cultures, placed on the importance of the void. I feel like the fear of the void, or the fear of emptiness or nothingness or no thingness, is a real Western kind of egoic sort of concern, right? Because in a weird way, zero is what we all pass out of. It's like the birth canal. It's the cosmic egg.
And what we'll all return to.
Correct.
And what's interesting, though, I think, is that originally the Fool card wasn't preceding the first card, which is the Magician, the number one. It's kind of like everywhere simultaneously. So it surrounds all the archetypes of the tarot. It's woven into all the 1 through 21 of the major arcana cards.
I also think it's a really great reminder that we're viewing one card, say the Hermit. Mm-hmm. We're also viewing that card with the beginner's mind of the Fool, right?
Yes. And if you hear this thumping in the background, it's Sarah's three-legged dog.
So she thumps, but we're just going to kind of deal with
like
her thumperstein thumping.
But also, just to quickly touch on the fact that the major arcana are the 22 cards that are what make a tarot deck a tarot deck. Otherwise, they would really just be a deck of playing cards, which originally were used for divinatory purposes and also as a game. But then the 22 cards that make up the major arcana, which are really the archetypal cards, is what we're talking about when we say major arcana, just in case you were like, what are they talking about?
I love that. And maybe not to divert too much, but can we break down what the word arcana means?
Yeah, you go for that.
Well, doesn't it mean a universe? Doesn't it mean a secret, unknown sort of mystery?
Right. Well, yeah. So arcane.
Did I break that down?
Yeah. The hidden bits. Well, they're really hidden in plain sight.
You can say that again.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Well, so let's talk about the Fool.
Mm-hmm.
So it corresponds to the element of air or ether, being sort of like the cosmic void, the cosmic egg, right? Thinking that that's the thing from which all things emerge. Also the cosmic child. This card is cosmic. It is a cosmic card. So it is, so the cosmic child, meaning that it's genderless, right? It's inchoate, it's formless.
Mm-hmm. And it's always sort of like activator and instigator, and that's energetics, right? That's not really gendergetics,
right?
It's, you know,
right.
Like it's this kind of spirit. It's like how the breath of air keeps us going and living. It's sort of this almost unforeseen, slightly intangible force that is underneath everything and also unites everything in
it
a way.
It is the force, like from Star Wars. But here's the thing, and I say this all the time to my clients about, you know, the Fool comes from or is the realm of the imagination, essentially. And the realm of the imagination is the spirit world. It is the realm of consciousness. So it's the place where things can be more than one thing at a time, right? Because once something comes into material reality, then it has to take form. And it starts to do that with the magician. But while it's in the realm of the imagination, it can be three things. It can be everything. It can be nothing. It's constantly shifting and changing around because it doesn't have to obey the laws of physics. But then once it comes into material reality, then it has to deal with death and decay and corruption, because that's the nature of material reality. Things change. Like, they can't be two things at once.
So what I hear you saying is that the Fool is also a synonym for pure, unfiltered potential.
Yes.
Let's dive right in, okay? So another way to look at the cards, particularly, I would say, the major arcanas, is as a process. The cards are archetypes, for sure, but they're also processes, ways of living, of a sort of archetype. It's sort of like moving the energy sort of through you from your thoughts, from your actions, from the things that are coming up around you and the things you're thinking about. You're kind of looking at me like...
No, you were inspiring me. You made me think of this book by André Breton called Nadia. He was a surrealist and kind of a dick. But in this book, he talks about how Nadia wasn't so much a person as a way things happen. And that's annoying if you're talking about an actual woman. But it's interesting if you're talking about a tarot card, right? So the Fool isn't so much a card as it is a way things happen.
The way, right? And I think that's also really interesting when you get the Fool, or any other card for that matter, when you pull it, you can ask yourself, how do I need to be this way? Or where is this way or this process kind of coming into my life, and why?
Yeah. How does this process work? Like, how does it manifest? I also think of the major arcana cards as being types of transformation, which I guess is the same as a process, right? So in the case of this Fool, this transformation may show up when you're pathless. So find the right path. You just need to look down.
Or look up, as it were.
Right. But so I guess the thing is that what I'm trying to get at is that the Fool might come up for you when you're at the beginning of a large journey. Like, maybe it's a creative one, or maybe it's a romantic one. Maybe it's about your education and you don't know where to go or what to do or where to turn, but you don't really care. You don't really know what you don't know. You're just kind of starting off, and you have to just start wherever you are. So a great journey begins with a single step. And this is kind of the moment before you take that step. You have to sort of decide which direction. But the Fool doesn't really decide in the same way that, as we'll see next, the magician is the one who makes that choice. But the Fool is kind of the place from which the question emerges. And maybe we want to talk about that sort of court jester aspect, that sort of joker quality of the Fool.
Sure, sure. So sometimes the Fool can be seen as the jester kind of archetype. And, you know, a jester's role a lot of times in the court was to kind of keep things light, was to sort of comment on what was happening. And the jester was always safe, right?
Well, actually, I think that in fact, might not, from my understanding, is not really true. But I do see the Fool as being like that kind of child figure who has extra angels, right? You know, like, kids seem to be able to get into more trouble than an adult might be able to and still be protected. But my understanding of the court jester is that the court jester is there to be the only person who could ridicule the king, but
to a limit.
And in theory, he was allowed to do that. But if he ever
overstepped
or, you know, said something that really criticized the king, then he did subject himself to
death.
Probably. I mean,
or banishment.
Like, realistically, that did probably happen.
Okay, so I stand corrected. No, as
but
I will.
But
well, I feel like there's this idea of the jester that it's sort of this jester archetype is kind of like, number one, using humor and comedy to disarm, and also absurdity. So there's that kind of correlation to me with the fool, where like the fool's like, wait, are we all like seeing what's really happening here? And the fool maybe is the one to sort of say that. And I sort of think about the fool as, because it is zero in the activator and not in this kind of system of the system, outside the system, the activator of this major arcana framework is sort of like this, I kind of talked about, we were riffing on this before, this sort of like stranger in a strange land, right? Like E.T. or Balky. I liked your kind of like, just being like, what's going on, everybody? Like, what? How does this work?
We were talking about the fool character in pop culture. And so some of like, so Balky, for instance, in what was
Perfect Strangers, Perfect it was Strangers, called, right?
Right, who's like, I don't know this world. Tell me about it, Cousin Larry. Or... I also see, so I was wondering what you thought, whether or not the Roadrunner or the Coyote character is the fool. Because I feel like the Roadrunner is, and I'll tell you why. Sorry, that was a rhetorical question, I guess. So, so the Roadrunner, like, you know, in Wile E. Coyote, how the Roadrunner like runs across an empty ravine and like can just like walk across it because he's just like, what? Yeah. I'm going where I'm going to go. And then Wile E. Coyote follows him, and then he's like, ugh, and he looks down and he falls into the ravine. Uh-huh. Where the fool is the Roadrunner. It can run
correct
wherever it wants because it doesn't know how much it doesn't know. Whereas Wile E. Coyote is like, oh, shit.
Totally. Now you're getting actually really deep around like the not knowing and the like totally. Perception and seeing and thought. And I think it's interesting that as we're speaking, we have the Fool card from the Mother Piece deck. And this particular figure is completely naked, yet has this little suitcase bag on a kind of stick or cane, which we'll get into in a moment, that has an eye on it. So it's sort of about what you're seeing, what, you know, the knowingness, the perception, how that plays out. You know, to me, the fool, like you said, is always protected, almost always. So I also think that it's leading with a different kind of sight or seeing things in a different way or being ready to see things in a different way. And I think in pop culture, Cousin Balky or Mork and Mindy or E.T. or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, this kind of like other person in this framework is always the one that's like making jokes or getting to get other people to laugh at the absurd, you know, things that are happening that some people you just kind of take for granted when you're kind of like the fish in the water. You don't know how to talk about the water, right?
Right.
So the fool can kind of be this like disruptor or this sort of, hey, what is going on? And they kind of, this archetype can sometimes soften the blow with humor or soften the blow with, you know, kind of being a little bit silly, right?
Well, I see the fool as kind of a Taoist figure in the sense that it's kind of like, it's all good. Like, we're already where we need to be. There's nothing wrong. Like, we've already arrived. I was also thinking in terms of like pop cultural references as like the guys from Jackass, how they're always like, I mean, they're very foolish and like jumping off buildings and stuff. But then I was thinking, why are they all guys? And I was thinking women don't really, in our popular culture, like women aren't allowed to be foolish unless they're fools for love. And then we see a lot of examples, for instance, like Marianne Dashwood in Sense and Sensibility, where they're just kind of running all around, kind of doing whatever, like, or I guess Bridget Jones.
I also was thinking as you were speaking how that is changing. Like, I'm thinking of Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, there are a couple other, like, this is ridiculous. Sorry I'm saying this, but I do like this movie so much. I've seen it three times. Bridesmaids. Like, yes! You're allowing women to, like, poop in a sink. Like, that's, yes. Like, so I think it's changing, but I think you're right. I think that is, like, why is it always this sort of more masculine? Why is the physicality? Because I do also believe that the fool in this weird way is high and low. So to me, the fool is like very physical, but also like hovering.
Well, yeah, because I love this high and low idea because on one level, the fool is like Yoda, right? Like, who has this sort of beginner's mind, this kind of childlike quality, but who's also deeply wise. Because in the tarot, the fool is also kind of synonymous with the world card, which is the last card of the major arcana.
Correct.
And we'll get into that more probably later on. But also, what about the Joker in Batman?
What about him?
Okay, all about chaos, destruction. Love and destruction for its own sake. Yep. I mean, that's kind of the shadow side of the Fool, right?
That
Maybe
is.
We should touch on that a little.
We can talk about the shadow side of the Fool a little bit. Where did you want to go with that? The naivete or...
Well, I'm thinking about like, okay, so the Fool comes up in someone's reading and mm-hmm. they're like, what do I do with this information, right? So the positive side, you're at the beginning of a new journey, like have a beginner's mind, like just pay attention to where you are and follow your heart and just greet everything with a childlike enthusiasm. Negative side, shadow side, Fool comes up for you in a reading. You are being a jackass.
You can't see. Like you can't right. see clearly, or you can't see how you're coming across, or you can't see how certain mistakes you're making are patterns that you've been doing over and over again subconsciously.
You're naive. So you're gullible. You believe what anybody tells you. Like these are things that we learn through experience mm-hmm. not to do, right? Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it'll also relate to people being foolish with, for instance, money. Mm-hmm. Like they're spending it willy-nilly. They're not planning. I mean, the Fool is really the grasshopper and the ant story, right?
Oh, I love that story.
Right? So the Fool is not planning for the future. The ants are like, you're going to be sorry.
When winter comes.
But the Fool's like, nah, I just want to play my fiddle.
Let's talk a little bit about the symbology of the actual card and some kind of lessons in that for listeners to kind of work with, right?
Okay, yeah. Maybe how they can use it magically too.
Absolutely. In a lot of, obviously there are thousands of decks, but in kind of a theme that runs through them is this idea of having only what you need and nothing more.
Mm, yes.
So being stripped away. It's sort of a pre-magician card to me sometimes I think about where you're like, it is this kind of gestation of the potential and of the magic. And he has his little bindle in the Rider-Waite Coleman Smith and in a lot of other decks has some kind of carrying device, right? And that bindle carries that pouch, carries everything he needs. And then that stick is also a casual wand. He might not even know yet it's a magical wand, right? Because he's maybe using it for something else as well, you know? And then we were kind of talking about one of our favorite songs, Bag Ladies.
Right, Erykah Badu's song where she says, hey lady, you're gonna miss your bus. You can't hurry up because you got too much stuff. I guess no one ever told you, all you must hold on to is you, is you, is you. I always see the bag in the Fool card as being like one of those bottomless clown cards.
Yes.
That same. You could just pull out whatever from
anything
it.
He needs at and any time.
And that it's they really like, it's whatever you. Is around you
mm-hmm.
that you can have access to. I have a very brief story to tell about this, which is that when I was an undergrad, I made a Fool bag like that. And I put it on a stick and I would carry it around until... I just don't recommend this to anybody because if you carry a stick like that, one time I almost poked this lady's eye out in the grocery store and she gave me such a dirty look. I was like, I'm not going to carry this.
She's like, who's this fool in the lemon aisle?
Exactly. I was.
You're like, I am the fool.
But it was a cool bag.
That's really funny. So when you get the Fool, what are kind of some practical tips when the Fool keeps coming up for you, when you feel... drawn to the card? What are some ways to work with this energy and process it?
Well, if you get the Fool in a reading, I think you're often being advised to get curious, be open-minded, stay more aware, to pay attention to what is around you instead of all your preconceived ideas of what might be happening. It's probably also telling you that you're at the beginning stages of something. Like you don't even know that you're beginning yet.
Yes, absolutely. I generally tell clients about this card. And obviously, when we're talking about getting a card in a reading, I read the cards by what's going on around them, right? So, but if a client had a yes or no question, let's just say, and I were to pull one card and I got the Fool, honestly, the first thing I would say is, number one, go for it. Like, if, yes. Especially if it's something you've been wanting to do for a long time. Number two, I would also say that you might not know it, but you're protected. Number three, I would also say that learning is the doing. So a lot of people get hemmed up because they don't know how to do the thing. Like they want to make a podcast, but they don't know how to record or something. And when that happens and the Fool comes up, I would say to them,
just start.
Get your hands. Yeah. Do it on your phone. Ask a friend.
Take a step.
Thank you. I love that.
And then, so magically, I think one good thing to do, like if, for instance, if you look in the Mother Peace deck, the Fool is surrounded by animal familiars. And so that's a really good thing that you might want to do. If you are sort of in this Fool position where you are a beginner and you don't know what you don't know, it's a good time to call in some allies, some wise figures who might be able to help you and guide you and protect you. Even if you aren't able to do that yourself.
Another suggestion, although it's very abstract, magically, is to move around. Like, I don't mean move. I mean, like, move your body. Move around. Yeah. Get into the woods. Take a hike if you can. You know, take your wheelchair and go to a different setting. Like, move and be in sort of a different place.
And, like, if we're going back to the sort of the sort of fortune telling version of tarot, often it does mean travel, like go somewhere else far away, literally, like start your journey.
Yeah. So there it is. This is kind of I feel like we're going to have to do like 2.0 versions of every card.
Oh my because God, we're gonna we could go back over all of them,
you know, because there's so much more information I think that I want to talk about and you did, but that's about the time we have today. But I'm so excited about next week's episode
where we will be talking about the Magician, and we're going to be talking about how you bring from this realm of the Fool and the Void into material reality the thing that you want.
Yeah, so stay tuned, and you can find us
at Oracle of LA, Facebook, Instagram,
or GOTTESSS on Instagram, or visualmagic.info. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye, witches.
Bye, witches.
See you next week.
Witches in the science lab, witches in the backyard, witches in the roller rink, there's a witch wherever you are.